You are Locked On Chargers, your daily Los Angeles Chargers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And now, here is your host, Matthew Stanley.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to today's episode of Locked On Chargers. It's Wednesday, December 13th, and I, as always, am your host, Matthew Stanley. I'm the assistant editor and a writer over at boltsfromtheblue.com, the Chargers SB Nation site, and you can find me on Twitter at boltfanindenver and tweeting for this podcast over at LockedOnLAC. Today's episode is brought to you by Draft. Go search Draft in your app store or head over to draft.com and sign up using promo code LONFL to get a free entry on your first deposit. It's a lot of fun, it's really easy to use, and I'm a huge fan of doing the live snake drafts instead of salary cap to pick your team for daily fantasy. So it's a lot of fun. That's Draft in your app store or draft.com. So today, I'm joined again by Kyle Posey. We talk a little bit about the Skins game, and then we skip right ahead to the Chiefs game, and then get to some of your questions. So without further ado, here is me and Kyle. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in again to Locked On Chargers. Once again, you have me, Matthew Stanley. You can find me on Twitter at BoltFanInDenver, and I am joined once again by Kyle Posey. Kyle, how's it going?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. So that was a fun game this weekend. Chargers pretty much dominated the Redskins.
Yeah, it was. They really took it to them, man. You can tell pretty early that they were going to be able to do whatever they wanted to, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. I think what's really encouraging going forward is you saw them start to clean up things that we've kind of been harping on them for. I mean, the special teams looked a lot better. The offense was pretty balanced. The defense did a really good job in pretty much all phases. And the kicking game decided to show up. So that was fun.
Oh yeah, no, it's nice to see them be good in every phase. The run defense was really good. They're kind of flying around, and then they're able to hit these big plays. Maybe they're tough when they do that.
Yeah. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on the Skins game because, it's such a huge game coming up this weekend against the Chiefs on Saturday night that, you know, I really want to spend this week talking a lot about the Chiefs. So to get the Redskins game out of the way, go ahead and give me your three best things that you saw happen against the Skins.
I would say Rivers in the pocket was a big deal. He was just hanging in there, making plays with bodies around him. There's one play that I remember where he probably could have stood in the pocket, but other than that, man, he was pretty phenomenal. Just doing everything that you would think a Hall of Fame quarterback should do. And like, he's just playing like that. He's super consistent. He throws on time. So definitely Phillip Rivers in the pocket. Like I mentioned, run defense. I mean, Denzel Perryman back, they held Washington to 3.1 yards per carry on 21 carries. That's a big deal, especially, you know, teams have been able to earlier in the season, at least. Teams were able to just kind of run it down their throat, and that just wasn't the case. And then I guess I would say I thought the interior defensive line played really, really well. I thought that Legit was able to control the line scrimmage. B-Bane made some plays, Square made some plays, just all the guys in the middle, Phylon made some plays, all the guys in the middle just were able to get push and just stop the running. That was a big deal, especially considering the edge guys didn't get going.
Yeah, I agree with all those, and I want to add on, I think Desmond King really showed up again. I mean, he was fantastic. I don't know if you got a chance to see this week's video of mic'd up over on the Chargers website, but they had Trey Boston mic'd up. And one of the tackles for a loss that Des King had, Trey Boston runs up and he's like, "Hey, man, save some tackles for the rest of us. I think you got 20 today." So, yeah, I mean, he was all over the field. He was a lot of fun to watch. And you can really tell he's just really starting to gel on this defense. And then I think, it's encouraging that they're sticking with what is working. They're not, you know, trying to reinvent the wheel here. They see that throwing to Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen is what's working. So let's keep doing it and just sprinkle in these throws to Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin and, you know, get the most out of that. So that was really encouraging to watch.
Yeah, that's a good point about his King, man. He was flying around everywhere, just making tackles. When everybody points to like the touchdown he gave up, I watched it and it really looked like he just fell asleep, like he just forgot where Vernon Davis was. But there was a three play series where King made a stop for like a tackle of two. he had a sack, and he broke up a pass, like all in the same series. It's just, that's when you're getting that kind of production out of a rookie, man, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that was really good to see. All right, so obviously with the Chargers winning 30-13, there wasn't a whole lot wrong, but give me one or two things that you thought that you didn't like on Sunday.
It wasn't that I didn't like. It was more of just kind of disappointing, I'll say. So I thought Bosa and Ingram could have been better. Trent Williams, they had some success on the right side, just like minimal success. But when they went against the left tackle, he pretty much ate him up. He shut him down. I thought they would have more success, and that really didn't happen. Let's see what else. Man, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but I feel like the running game could have done a lot better, just like from a consistency standpoint. The interior line is kind of iffy. Gordon wasn't exactly making the most of his runs, and everybody talks about that Eckler going down plays. I mean, that was a big deal, but I understand exactly, you know, why he didn't. He just got caught in no man's land, probably thought he could score. Other than that, man, it's hard to come up with really it's hard to come up with another one. Maybe I'll say what else was there?
I think the only other thing really was their red zone offense. I mean, they were in the red zone. They had six drives that made it to the red zone, and they only converted two of them for touchdowns. So, I mean, that works against the Redskins because they're not that great of a team, but that's not going to work when you start playing the Steelers and the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have to shape that up real quick. And I don't know. I think maybe at this point, this is kind of just who they are. They can get down there, and they just cannot convert. And that is not going to be acceptable, man. They have to start converting.
Yeah, they really have to figure something out there in a hurry because, I mean, yeah, like I just said, that these 10-win teams that they're going to be playing in the playoffs, and even the not 10-win teams, even the teams like the Jaguars and the Ravens, I mean, those are opportunistic teams that if you don't have that cushion set up, things can go south in a hurry because those defenses can turn games around. And if you don't have, you know, if you're not scoring seven instead of three on each of these long drives, they're going to be able to take that back in a hurry.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, we'll just see. We'll see, you know, if they continue to make adjustments. The right thing's happening, though. We're seeing them actually go to Allen and Henry down there. Allen just got tackled by the turf on one of them, and then he just couldn't keep his feet on that flea flicker. So we'll see. We'll see if they're going to be able to punch it in. How about shout out to us, man, about things that went right. We kind of called Tyrell Williams thing last week. And
yeah, that was fun that worked out in such a big way. I mean, when I said Tyrell last week, I mean, I was expecting more of along the lines of, you know, he'd have a couple 60, 70 yard games, you know, down the stretch, but I definitely wasn't expecting 130 plus in a touchdown. That was pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, he had the long touchdown. He had a third down catch. He was contributing, man. That's good. That's good to see.
Yeah, man. All right, so I think that about wraps it up for the Redskins game. So we're going to move on to the Chiefs game. But before we do, Kyle, do you play fantasy football?
A little bit here and there, yeah.
So have you tried out draft yet?
I have not.
All right, so I'm gonna get you into draft, but for everybody else, you've heard me bring it up a couple times. There's 500,000 people playing draft already. And I'm upset that this is the first season that I've heard about it and that it took me this long into the season to find out about it. Draft is now my favorite daily fantasy site. If you're like me, you love doing snake drafts in fantasy rather than the salary cap stuff because, you know, I like knowing that player is mine and I don't have to worry about every time that player gets points for me, he's also getting points for, you know, X number of other people in the league. So that's where draft is different. Draft, it's fun. It's easy. It's in both your app stores. It's online at draft.com. The drafts are super quick. You're done in under 5 minutes. And the best part is that you're playing for cash. I mean, the chances of winning are 80% better than the salary cap sites. And anyone who signs up using promo code LONFL, you're going to get a free $3 entry to a game on your first deposit. So I'll be setting up leagues again this week. I set up a couple last week that filled up. And you can just use promo code LONFL and come play against me. Maybe I'll get Kyle in there. You can play against Kyle. And you get to play against us for free. So go use promo code LONFL and find draft in your app stores. All right, so on to the Chiefs game. How big is this game, Kyle?
It's pretty much the season.
Yeah. It's do or die time at this point. I mean, so I kind of ran down the playoff scenarios on Monday's show. And Kyle, we've talked about this with the guys from Baltimore and the Blue. But I mean, the chances of getting a wild card are very, very long. So if the Chargers want to make the playoffs, this is pretty much their best and only shot.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of things go right if they want to go into the wild card. Luckily for them, the Titans are reeling, but that just like from a head-to-head standpoint and like all the different ways and just, you know, scenarios, it's going to be very unlikely. But the good news is all they need to do is win and play like they have been playing against some reeling teams, and they will win the division.
Yeah, I mean, they – besides the Chiefs game, they're playing, you know, a bad Jets team that, you know, that they were kind of doing well on offense for a little while, but now Josh McCown's done for the season. So they're going to be, you know, playing maybe Christian Hackenberg, which, please. I mean, that would be so great. And then they've got the Raiders who, you know, they looked awful. I watched the Chiefs and Raiders game, and the Raiders, they just looked so bad. I mean, a lot of Chiefs fans were saying how excited they were that the Chiefs, you know, got back on track with this win versus the Raiders. But watching the game, I mean, as much as the Chiefs played well, the Raiders really just looked like garbage.
Yeah, the Raiders just couldn't move the ball. They couldn't score. At one point, Derek Carr's stat line was like 8-for-18 for 42 yards. Just they're bad. They're a bad team, and that with production from Marshawn Lynch too. So they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean Derek Carr. I mean he's a good quarterback, but he was making some bad throws, and even when he made good throws, none of his wide receivers were helping him out. Nobody was making catches. Even Michael Crabtree, who's pretty much their only name now. I mean, I guess you could count Jared Cook, the tight end, but I mean they were hurting. So I guess good for the Chiefs for getting a win, but I feel like, you know, at least from the fan base, they're a little overconfident coming into this game on Saturday.
Oh, for sure. I mean, well, rightfully so. You know, they've had some success just against the Chargers in recent history, but I mean, you can't go based off of years past different teams. You have to go based off of just how the teams are playing, and it's pretty evident that both these teams are trending in the opposite directions.
Yeah, I mean, not only can you not go off recent history as in recent years, but I don't even think the Chiefs can really expect to go into this game, you know, expecting the same team they played in Week 3. I mean, they have Denzel Perryman back, who has just been a huge catalyst for this defense. I mean, Kareem Hunt ran wild in that first game versus the Chargers, but that was with a Denzel Perryman-less defense. You know, you had Hayes Pollard in the middle. And now you're going to have Perryman back. You're going to have a defense that's really gelling and really playing for each other and just, you know, having fun out there, you know, dominating. You know, I think the Chiefs are kind of in for a shock this week.
Oh, absolutely. So you talked about Perryman, and that is a huge boost, man. He's just changed the defense. You are seeing offensively, you're going to see Hunter Henry featured. You're going to see Keenan Allen featured. You're not going to see just pound the rock up the middle with the running back, and hopefully Rivers can make a play on the outside. Just the continuity of the offense in general is just a lot different. You're going to see not Slauson blocking. You're going to see Lamp blocking. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of differences just how they are. And
you mean Feeney, not Lamp?
Yeah, Feeney. Whoa, man. But, I mean, you're going to see a Dez King that's actually – an NFL player and not a rookie trying to figure out how to play. You're going to see Adrian Phillips, who played very well last week. These guys on defense are flying around, and I think they're understanding how to play defense now. And then the big plays on offense have just, you know, it's been almost routine the last month. So it's a lot different ball game.
Yeah. I mean, definitely a good point on the offense is that, you know, the offense is really just playing really well right now, especially Phillip Rivers. I mean, we kind of talked about it, but his pocket presence in the last four games or so has really just reached a new level that, you know, we've rarely seen in his NFL career. I mean, he's just hanging in there. He's taking the time to make good reads and make good decisions. And then he's placing accurate balls, and he's also, you know, aware enough to be making throwaways when you need to. Like he's more than willing to trade sacks for incompletions, which is perfect because, you know, you see all these teams that get sacked all the time and their offense just stagnates. But Rivers is just making such good decisions at this point that he's not hurting the offense.
Yeah, last time they played the Chiefs, Rivers was 20 for 40 with three interceptions. Rivers has thrown three interceptions the last 10 games, I believe it is. Just completely different player than he was last time. I don't think he's going to throw the ball 40 times. I think we're going to agree on that. Last game that they played, Antonio Gates had 5 targets. Travis Benjamin had 8 targets. Tyrell Williams had 7 targets. Brandon Oliver had 6 targets. Like, those things are not going to happen this game.
Yeah, yeah. This offense has definitely, you know, done kind of a 180. I mean, that was probably the bottom of the barrel for the Chargers' offensive performances this season. And that's just not who the Chiefs are going to see on Saturday. I think that they're going to go in with a really good game plan. I think we probably won't see as much changes at the line because of how loud it gets. I mean, when the Chargers came here to Mile High in week one, you saw the offense had a really hard time communicating because of how loud it was. I think they're going to be better prepared for that this time. And I think you're going to see Rivers really just, you know, taking his time and, you know, they're going to be efficient on offense. They might turn it over once, but you're definitely not going to see a 3-interception game again. And they're not going to have to, I don't think anymore, they're going to have to worry about, you know, the kicking game failing them.
One thing that they are going to have to do a better job of is just protecting Rivers because it hasn't really shown as far as sacks go. But teams have been getting after him, and he's been doing a good job, like I mentioned, of just avoiding that, avoiding the pressure and hanging in there and still being able to make throws down the field. The last time that the Chiefs played the Chargers, they sacked twice and hit him 7 times. Good news is 2 of those hits came from Dee Ford, who's not playing in the game. But, I mean, they had Chris Jones, who's made plays. Justin Houston's obviously very, very good. And the tackle in pass protection just lately. So they're going to have to do a better job of just continuing to get the ball up quick for Rivers. I don't think it'll be a problem. I mean, I'm sure they're very aware of the struggles that they have in pass protection, but just something to keep an eye on.
Yep. And I think the other thing to keep a close eye on is what goes on with Travis Kelce this time around when the Chiefs have the ball. Because last time, the Chargers were able to hold Travis Kelce to 1 reception for 1 yard, and that just doesn't happen. I mean, Travis Kelce is a top 3 tight end in the league. And he's definitely gonna be more of a factor this time. So it'll be really important for the team to, you know, have a game plan to stop him. And hopefully that game plan isn't just, you know, put a die on him.
Yeah, no, I don't think, even though that has improved in coverage, I don't think we're gonna see that. I imagine we're gonna see two guys on him. So I think it'll be like 2 Mighty Mouses, Phillips and a die, trying to brat him or just try to control him. That way he's not running free off the scene because, I mean, once it's going, they're going to stop. If they can just link Kelce just like they did last time and for somebody else to beat them, it can't be Tyreek Hill and it can't be Travis Kelce. You just have to take a chance everywhere else. They'll be good on the perimeter. It's just, can they keep Kelce and control him in the middle of the field?
Yep. And I think another important thing on defense to try to, you know, put the Chargers in the best position to win is they have to see the same performance out of their interior defensive linemen as they got this week. I mean, Corey Leggett and Brandon Mebane both had really good games this week. They generated a lot of pressure up the middle, and that's going to be really important this week because watching the Raiders game, almost every time that they got good interior pressure, they came away with a sack because Alex Smith just kind of pulled the ball down and tried to do something on his own, and then Bruce Irvin was there to clean it up. So, I mean, that would be too easy to generate pressure up the middle and have Alex Smith, you know, kind of shut down like that. And then having Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa on the outside to clean that up.
Yeah. And they got after Smith earlier in the year when they played too. They had 5 sacks. Ingram had 3 of them. They got after him. So, you know, hopefully that continues again. They hit 5 times as well. So, you know, they really don't have a choice to get after him. They should kind of just sell out, you know. Make Alex Smith throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, they'll have much more success than the Raiders did if they have the pass rush that the Raiders did against them this week, because the Chargers secondary is leaps and bounds better than the Raiders secondary. So if you do that, if you force Alex Smith to beat you with his arm, the Chargers are going to have much better success at shutting that down than the Raiders did.
And like you mentioned, as far as just the interior defensive line, they have to play that way against the run as well. Last time they played, Kareem Hunt had 17 carries for 172 yards, man. And I know that he had that long one at the end that was 69 yards. But even if you take that run away, he's still over 100 yards. I mean, he still had a big day where he's just running all over. So, I mean, if they can just – they really don't have to do anything out of the ordinary. They just have to continue to play with the momentum that they've gotten going here.
Exactly. All right. So I think that's good enough for today. We'll go ahead and get more tomorrow, but I think you have some questions.
Yeah. Let me pull those up here. First question comes from K Big Bettis. He asked, do you typically condone engaging in a verbal combat with draft prospects like Walter Football does? No, I do not. No, I do not. I actually never at players ever.
Usually ends poorly.
Right. Let me see what else we have. A band JJS JBBA. Not even sure what that is. He actually has an avatar of John Cena without a shirt on. John asks, who on the Chargers would you least like to date your sister? What do you say?
Who on the Chargers would I least like to date my sister? Probably Melvin Ingram, because he could easily whoop my ass. Like, probably more so than most of the guys on the team. I mean, I think probably all of them could, even the cornerbacks. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm like 280 pounds, but yeah, Melvin Ingram would scare me.
And his second part question was, can the Chargers get back into the playoffs if they don't beat the Chiefs and win out as a team? And we kind of went over all the tiebreakers. It'll be a long shot. So basically, they should win the division and not rely on everybody else.
Yep, exactly.
Next question comes from @BasedLeeLooch. LeeLooch asks, what exactly is the reason for Rivers playing like crap in the beginning, but now he's playing like the best he's ever had? Was it the scheme change? Is Rivers just playing better in general? Was Lynn letting Rivers do what he wants? What was going on? I say at the beginning, he wasn't making these plays in the pocket. He wasn't hanging in there. He was not this accurate guy that he is right now. He wasn't giving his players a chance to make these plays. For example, last week, early in the game, Hunter Henry was covered. He threw the ball and made him uncovered. He wasn't making those plays earlier. So I think Rivers is essentially just stepping his game up and playing like he's capable of. I'm not sure if it was a Lynn thing. People have told me ever since Lynn kind of got after him on the sideline, there's been a ton. I'm sure he's very aware. I mean, Rivers isn't dumb. They watch all kind of film all day, every day. So I know he knows what the issues were, but he's just not making the same mistakes, and he's letting his best players do the job for him.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair assessment. I think he's just really – he's taken it upon himself to elevate his play. And I don't know, I kind of don't want to speculate, but it almost seemed like maybe he was discouraged because of the move and everything going into the season. But then just because of who he is, after he started playing a couple games, he's like, man, this just isn't fun if we're not winning. So I guess, I need to get back to putting my full self into it. I have nothing to back that up other than just me, spitballing and thinking that might have something to do with it. But, I think he really just has elevated himself.
Next one is from Super Duper Boltman. He asks, how do the Bolts keep Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill in check? Is that the biggest factor to a victory Sunday? If not, what is? So with Hunt, man, you just have to have everybody to the ball. He's slowed down quite a bit the last month or so. But, I mean, he's still very capable of breaking tackles. He's still a very good back. Tyreek Hill, they just have to stay in front of him. He makes some crazy plays. But luckily, they have some guys that can run and that can disrupt him. So I do think that both of those two, including Kelsey, are the factors to winning the game. They just have to stop that three-headed monster. I mean, just have to, like it's easy. But really, the biggest factor is just pressuring Alex Smith, making sure that he doesn't have all day to throw, making sure that he has to stay in the pocket and make him beat you with his arm and not his feet.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, controlling Alex Smith is probably a little more important than Kareem Hunt, just simply because while a running back can kind of take over a game, it's much easier for a quarterback to control a game. So if they're minimizing the chunk plays from Kareem Hunt, it's going to force it's going to force Alex Smith to go out there and try and win the game. And that's when Alex Smith is going to lose the game for them. So I think it's more important to focus on Alex Smith in this game.
Cake Eater 47 asks, when QBs are in shotgun, is it necessary for them to kick their leg up or some punch downward before the ball is hiked to them? Like, is it a timing thing or is something that needs to happen before the ball is hiked? It's really just a cadence thing, and everybody does different things. Like Ohio State quarterbacks, you'll see them clap. Some guys will drop their arms. Some guys will just stomp, kind of put their leg up. So it's really just a cadence thing. That's just what they practice. Aragon underscore yep asks, how much will the Chargers win by? What do you got?
I think it's probably going to be pretty close. I don't think they win by more than a touchdown. I said last night when I was on the Locked On Chiefs with their guy, I think it's probably 24-21, something like that. I think the Chargers kind of score a little less than they have been recently, and allow a little bit more of a score, but you know, I think it's somewhere in that range, 21, 24, 17, 24, something like that.
I actually think it's going to be more of a higher scoring game. I think it's going to be 24-20 and the Chargers win by 4. AMAC. These names are ridiculous. AMACUSPAC2 asks, with the offense looking revitalized, do you believe we should still retain Wiz or is it time to find a new offensive coordinator? And I mean, it's very nice the last month, but I imagine that they're going to I would prefer would like to move on. But I mean, with the way it's going lately, it's hard to move on from the way he's calling plays. I think last game was probably his best, just as like play design wise goes. A lot of guys are running free all over the place. It was nice. His second part of his question asks, with the Chargers playing well, are there any chance that we lose a staff or for head coach or coordinator, and who? What do you think?
I mean, if anybody, I think Gus Bradley might grab a couple people's attention. But I mean, you can only steal a coach like that if they're going for a promotion. So I don't think after what happened in Jacksonville, I don't think after 1 year anybody's going to be, you know, scrambling to their phones at the end of the season to interview Gus Bradley for a head coaching job. So I don't think we'll lose anybody that consequential. Hopefully somebody takes our special teams coordinator.
All right, please. We'll pay you. Ryan underscore Monet asks, what is the most overrated Christmas related food or beverage?
Eggnog.
It is 100%, 100,000,000,000,000 eggnog. No questions asked. Somebody that I know, one of my good friends, puts eggnog in his coffee.
So I have the best eggnog story ever. So I have a friend who was in high school with me, and she is basically the epitome of all the dumb blonde jokes. And she'll admit this to you too. Like, I'm not disparaging her she would tell you I am a dumb blonde. But so she comes home one time and they had one of those, you know, those spare fridges that some people have in the garage. And so she goes out there and sees eggnog, and it was, you know, it was like early December time frame. So she's like, oh, sweet. Yes, it's eggnog time again. She grabs the eggnog, opens it up, pours a glass, and there's little green things floating in it. And she's like, oh, that's cool. They put green stuff in it for Christmas. She chugs the entire glass, and then her mom comes out and says, oh, my God, where did you find that? That's leftover from 2 years ago. Those were not green festive flakes. Oh, that was 100% mold.
Oh my God, man. That is pretty amazing.
And I still cannot drink eggnog to this day after that.
So I'm glad we both agree that it's eggnog for sure. TK Gwynn asks, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa have combined for 1.5 sacks over the past three games. Are they wearing down or are teams just playing them different? I thought that last game, Melvin Ingram was very good against the run. And I think lately he's been very good against the run. I wouldn't say that just because they're not getting sacks, they're not having an impact on the game. Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa are still getting after the quarterback. They just ran into a buzzsaw last week in Trent Williams. I put a video of this on Twitter. Melvin Ingram hit him with a spin, and usually once he hits you with a spin, you're toast. He would have walked into a sack against any other left tackle in the NFL. Trent Williams had some just phenomenal recovery, and he was able to cut him off. Like, guys just don't do that. He was just ragdolling Bosa, man. It was pretty incredible to watch that. I watched him do what he did to those two. But I wouldn't say that they're wearing down because they're still very effective against the run. I think it's a lot harder to get sacks, man. It's tough. It's if it wasn't tough, we'd see more and more guys have over 10 sacks. So I think there's a reason that these two are so productive. And like I think it was last week or the week before where the sack that King had, Bosa was right there for it. So somebody's getting after the quarterback, even if it isn't those two. So I like
that. Yeah, I think the only thing I've really noticed on tape is that it looks like teams are just kind of doing a slightly better job at getting them to run the ring and having the quarterback step up in pressure against them. I noticed in the earlier on in the season when they were getting a ton of sacks, none of the quarterbacks were really stepping up against them. They were, you know, staying at their seven, eight step drop depth, and that's why it was a lot easier for them to get all the way there. But I mean, with the way, like you said, with the way that Dez King has been coming on his timing and with the improved play of the interior defensive line, somebody's going to get those sacks. You said it exactly right, that even though they're not getting numbers in the sack column, Bosa and Ingram are still affecting the quarterback and forcing him to move.
Bolton K asks, who do you suspect to be the Chargers' biggest offseason casualty? I would guess Corey Legit. Who do you think?
Biggest cap casualty. Yeah, I think Corey Legit's a good name. I could also maybe see him pulling the trigger and dropping Joe Barksdale, depending on what they see from Forrest Lamp. Yeah, I think Corey Legit's probably a good person to pick there.
Let's see what else we have here. 25 asks. So this. What is the most asinine tweet Sully has directed at you about your favorite team in the last couple months? For those of you that are smart, do not follow Sully Football. He is quite easily one of the worst, most emotional accounts. He's a diehard Chiefs fan, and whenever they play, he will constantly take shots at the Chargers and the Raiders and the Broncos and the Jaguars. But he'll also take shots at the Chiefs. So for me, I mean, it's pretty easy. He will just quite simply, he'll just like Photoshop me onto anything and everything. So, I mean, I'm pretty much immune to it at this point.
Yeah, I've never really interacted with him. I've just followed what your guys' interactions. And
it's so bad.
It's pretty bad.
Let's see what else we got here. I think that might be okay. No, here's another one. International JS, ignoring health, which receivers in the NFL would you take over Keenan Allen? That's a pretty good question. So, I mean, especially with the way he's rolling now, Allen's playing at just a stupid high level, very tough to guard. And with the, like, I really like last week how they threw him like the back shoulder. There should be a lot more of that. So I would say Antonio Brown, Julio Jones. I know a lot of people say Nuke Hopkins. Nuke has superior like ball skills. Like, he's just ridiculous when the ball's in the air, but I don't think he's a better route runner. Keenan. So they both can do things at full speed, which makes them really tough to guard. But I think that I wouldn't take him over. I'm not saying that he's better, but I wouldn't like replace him with Hopkins. So Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, who am I missing? I mean, I know he's not the third best receiver in the NFL.
Well, you already said Antonio Brown too.
Right. So I got him and Julio are the two no-brainers.
I mean, Adam Thielen's having a really good year.
He is, but I don't think that I would take Keenan over him. AJ Green.
You mean take him over Keenan?
Yeah, yeah. AJ Green's still okay. Really, really good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's probably only those two.
Yeah, man. Just looking at like a list of receivers that people just generally would say. So we see Odell Beckham's hurt. Mike Evans. Mike Evans is really good, but I mean, he disappears a lot. And it's not always with quarterback. Jordy Nelson, no. Michael Thomas is pretty good. I'm not taking T.Y. Hilton. I'm not taking Dez. I'm not taking Demaryius Thomas. Doug Baldwin's up there for me, but I gotta take him over Keenan. Yeah, man, it's just a select few, I guess. I didn't think that it would be like that.
Yeah, yeah, he's really just come on. I mean, I guess OBJ is one that, you know, he'd probably be in the conversation. It's just, I hate these questions where you have to ignore injuries because it's so hard to ignore the injury. Like, you don't really, like, we can't project what he would have done this season. I mean, he's had some good seasons, but.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's see, anything else? I think that's much it, man.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for reading those out, and thanks for coming on again, Kyle. We'll probably we'll see if we can get you in again before Saturday. Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Sounds good, man. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I'm at Bolt Fan in Denver, and you can also find me at Locked On LAC. And Kyle Posey here. If you enjoyed him, he's at KP _ show. And if you didn't enjoy having Kyle on, you can find him at Sully Football.
Please send me all your ads. It's terrible.
All right. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening. This has been another episode of Locked On Chargers. I've been your host, Matthew Stanley. You can find me on Twitter at BoltFan in Denver or tweeting for this podcast over at Locked On LAC. And just a reminder that this episode was brought to you by Draft. It's fun. It's easy. You can find it under Draft in your app store or draft.com. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.